Welcome to the Shaping Portsmouth podcast. Shaping Portsmouth is a collaboration of key Portsmouth businesses, transforming Portsmouth together. And welcome to another Shaping Portsmouth podcast with me, CEO Dave Humphreys. But today's a very special podcast. It's our 100th podcast episode. So I've brought in some extra help because I think with today's very special guest, I need extra help. So I've brought in our other regular podcast hoster, Sharla. Welcome, Sharla.
Hello, Dave.
And so do you want to introduce who we're speaking to?
Wow, okay. It's with great joy that I introduce this guest to our 100th episode. I can't believe they've waited patiently this long to be a guest on the Shaping Portsmouth podcast. An inspirational leader in the city and just an all-round icon, to be honest with you. I think that's a good word
the appropriate word,
I know.
Actually.
I can literally feel the levels of disappointment as people realise who it is.
No way. So we have Jane Lemaire.
No, we have the fabulous
Jane Lemaire. Jane Lemaire.
Wow. Yes.
Welcome.
Got to go with the full title.
Hi.
So, yeah, I think Charlotte's right. It's amazing that it's taken 100 episodes for us to actually get you on a podcast.
It's because you haven't invited me, Dave, just saying.
Well, I think it's been spoken about, but just not actually happened. But
all talk, no exciting offers. Charlotte sent me an invite, just saying.
Well, yeah, we had planned the 100th. But I think there is, I've learned that for us to use you for anything, you either need to be the first or the 100th.
Yes.
Okay.
Is that how it works?
That's good. Yeah, I mean, I like to go first.
Yeah,
or I guess 100th.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a special year and it's a special time. So it feels like fate that we've waited this long to invite you onto the podcast.
Yeah, definitely. So should we start at the beginning then?
Okay.
Because I think it's probably appropriate for the 100th podcast that we have someone born in the city.
There's a lot of us about, but yes, yeah, I was born.
A Portsmouthian.
Yeah.
Is that the correct term?
Is that a term?
A Pompey girl?
I am now. A Pompey girl, yeah.
Pompey girl. So have you lived here all your life, growing up in Portsmouth?
So I was born in Portsmouth, lived in Portsmouth to start off with. I've always lived most of it just outside Portsmouth. I can see it, but just outside. But Portsmouth's been my whole career. One way or another, I've worked in and around Portsmouth.
I guess it also depends on your the working definition of Portsmouth,
whether we go with the Portsmouth Unitary
or the Greater Portsmouth.
If we go with Greater Portsmouth, always. If we go with Portsmouth Unitary, then I was excluded fairly early on and have, you know, crawled my way back in.
This is getting very technical already. Mm.
This is what you can expect in the rest of this podcast.
So what's the backstory? Because we obviously we can't sort of ask how you ended up in Portsmouth because you've always been here. But what was life growing up in Portsmouth like for you? Where did you go to school? What did you aspire to do?
What did I aspire to do? So I actually went to school outside of Portsmouth. So, you know, if we're going to go back that far, you know, infant school was Padnell, so back up in Waterloo, not very far from you. And then I went to Horndean.
Yeah.
And that was when it was changing names. So I genuinely can't remember whether it was Horndean Technical College or Community or something. It all changed while I was there. So always lived up that side. And then started work in Portsmouth, working for British Gas.
What was your role there?
Well, I was a trainee manager. So I did all the different retail stores and lots of very exciting background stuff. So I still can't go into Witherspoons on Guildhall Square without remembering it as a call centre for British Gas.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know
that. So it's really
weird.
We didn't have a bar when it was a call centre, I'll tell you.
No.
Wasn't as much fun then.
No.
Yeah, you've got to have a bar in your place of work. That's why I became a cop. All police stations have bars.
Wow. There's motivation.
They used to.
They did always used to. So my dad was a policeman, so I remember those bars.
Was this a joke? Just checking. The bar thing.
What, in police stations?
Yeah. No.
No, everyone in the city had a bar. Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking like bars on a cell. Just checking that you weren't making like a police related joke.
Police related pun.
Was I too ahead of the curve there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just checking where we're at the level humor of this conversation.
They had both bars and bars.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's obviously deteriorating now, but yes, it was actually quite sensible at that point. Yeah.
Yeah. So now I think to understand your current role, I think Sharla's probably got a better question about I have that we use in the team, haven't you?
Yes. So it's a very interesting question that CP has challenged us with. When a new person joins, we have to explain what we do without saying our job title. So we thought this could be a good question for you, Jane.
Oh, that's really cruel. I knew I'd never liked that CP.
Well, it really gets you thinking.
It does really get you thinking. So I do I have lots of different bits under my responsibility. So that's everything from adult learning, some exciting strategy work, which I can't say because the word's in the title, our unemployment programme. So we help adults into work. There's a big part of the council that does that. And then we do a lot of business support, because that's not actually in the title, so I can get away with saying that, including obviously our wonderful partnership with PBSS. We have all of our enterprise centres where we're supporting around 130 different businesses in spaces across the city on short leases. And then we do all things like markets, Christmas markets, and of course the multi-award-winning South Sea Food Festival that we've just survived for the 18th year.
It was very good as well.
It was very good. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Mm. I had a wonderful time. Took lots of photos and then realised afterwards that the only photo of any food that I took was actually crocheted food and not even real food. But it was a very good festival.
Is that because you're too busy eating the food to take pictures of it?
It's sort of, There's a lot of eating goes on.
Yeah.
It was good.
And the Lizard Lounge was a nice touch this year, I thought.
That was amazing. Thanks to Lizard for doing that for us. That was a really nice opportunity for us to get to speak to some people. And particularly, whilst obviously the Great and Good Light Yourself were there, it also gave us an opportunity to speak to nice sponsors who might consider sponsoring us for next year, which would be amazing.
Yeah, definitely.
And 18 years is quite an achievement.
Yeah. So it's 18 years because obviously we had a few COVID years that were kind of not quite to plan. But yeah, they've delivered that. And Becky Alexander, who's in my team, has been involved in most of those, if not all of them.
Amazing. Mm. Yeah. Mm. So basically, Jane, a lot happens in your role.
A lot happens in my role.
So now we've described it, what actually is the official title?
It's Head of Economic Development and Skills.
So essentially you run the council.
Sadly, no, because I am power crazed, so I am up for it. but only that little part of the world, but very public facing piece. So it's really nice to spend a lot of time engaging with stakeholders and, you know, generally trying to make sure that what we're doing fits in with what our businesses want across the city.
So I think for our 100th episode, we were keen to have someone who was the biggest champion of the city that we could get in for the podcast, and it was either you or Steve Pitt. I think that it was what it came down
to. Finally got to go to something instead of Councillor Pitt. Woo!
Yeah, and
well, he wasn't available, was he? That's what you.
We didn't ask. We started at the top.
Oh wow!
Yeah, you're getting all the compliments today,
Jane. I'm loving this. Yeah. This is like this is the nicest Dave has ever been to me, Sharla.
Oh right,
I'm always
there.
Nice.
You go.
Well, I know I need to look after you. I'm always nice.
But not just because you like me. But yeah, there is a lot going on in Portsmouth and we are very fortunate.
So to that point then, and let's start on the business side.
Yep.
Because that's what you do. That's your role. Why is Portsmouth such a good place to do business?
Oh, I mean, for a whole bunch of reasons. I'm always quoting the fact that we were the most entrepreneurial city back in 2020 in the UK. And I quote that because that's the first time we came right up at the top. But the reality is we always sit in the top 10. We have so many incredible people with innovative ideas, so many people that are prepared to step out and do things on their own. And some of those grow into enormous businesses. And some of them are independents who stay and work as entrepreneurs on their own. But there's this wonderful sort of infrastructure, and that closely links into like the university. Obviously, we get to see some amazing businesses come out of the university. But we just have this really amazing culture, which I think is much bigger than just business. But that provides us as a really great kind of ecosystem. And then as a local authority, we've always had a tradition of making sure there's lots of business support. When we went into COVID, one of the first things we did was stand up a helpline to make sure there was immediate connection. And we've kept that going. And it's not that Portsmouth have a huge amount more money that we can offer out, because sadly we don't. But what we do as a local authority is prioritise that business support so that we're getting as much signposting for businesses as possible to help them grow. And that's why we have so many startups, but also the way that we work within our kind of skills piece, the way that we work with the colleges and the university to try and really grow staff, whether we're using things like boot camps, or whether we're working with individual programmes or university, you know, or establishments. We have a lot of kind of infrastructure to try and support the businesses. There's always more to do. There is so much more to do. I could talk about that for ages. But there is this great amount of support across the city that really tries to move everything forward. And I think that provides us a really great infrastructure in which to do business. Plus, everyone at the council's adorable.
Obviously. That goes without saying.
I think I have to say it or no one else will.
But do you think the local authority does make a difference in terms of, you know, what's on offer here compared to elsewhere, perhaps?
Yes, do you know, and I'm really proud of it. So because obviously I don't have enough to do generally, I volunteer as co-chair of CDOS, which is the Chief Economic Development Officers, which is across the country. And we have a lot of, it's a lot about peer support really for economic development officers and working together to get ourselves sharing best practice. And I quite often get to sit and be really smug because actually we do have an awful lot going on in the city, but we also have amazing partnerships. And I have to say the amount of times I go, oh, well, we'd be working with Shaping Portsmouth on that. Because we have this amazing collaboration and it gives us such an advantage. And obviously we've really managed to work that cleverly over the last few years with a little bit of extra funding in order to expand the amount of support that's going on. But I think we are clever at using the limited resources we have to try and give the maximum impact for businesses and people that want to start up. And yeah, I think that is really special. And I quite often speak to people from across the country or other areas who are really envious of that partnership.
Definitely.
Yeah, everyone feels so connected. The business community is so connected. And knowing that there is always someone to ask and support you, and how wonderful to like for you to know and have inside information that we are kind of like what good can look like in a business community.
Yeah, and that doesn't mean that we are or should in any way be complacent, because every time I think we've got such a broad reach within local businesses, you meet people who've never heard of us or didn't know that support was there or didn't know they could access things. So there is always so much more to do. And the trouble with communities is sometimes they can unconsciously close just because everyone knows each other, and that's great. But I do think it's a really welcoming environment, and we've got some lovely networking that goes on across the city. And there's lots of welcoming people in and lots of work with charity partners across the city. And I think that just helps us to continue to grow and develop and bring more people into that fold. But it is the challenge for us, I think, is always trying to do more or trying to include more people, because there will always be someone who hasn't heard of us yet. So that's a constant challenge. But hopefully a joy as well, because that gives us great opportunities to include more people.
If someone was listening and they haven't heard of the great work that you're doing, what would you like them to know?
Really, I think that as a local authority, we're here to support. And we don't have a big bucket of money, but we can help signpost you to lots of different places. And whether that's about engaging with sessions on how to get funding, whether that's signposting people to mentoring, whether it's getting people into peer communities, whether it's doing startup or whether it's literally the boring, mundane things that can weigh us down, like, you know, I don't understand my business rates, or I need to understand how, you know, this is going to work or that's going to work. It's about knowing that there is a place where you can start, and we don't have all the answers, but we will always try, and we'll keep going with you until we've helped you find as much of an answer as we can. So it's about the availability, I guess.
Amazing.
And there's some interesting numbers in there around how many businesses there are in the city, how many start per year. So I have it in my head that there's about 8,500 businesses in Portsmouth.
Again, it depends which ONS data you're going, but you know, about there, I'd probably quote close to about 7,940, but that's just because it's the ONS source.
Yeah. And then there's, I think there's about 353 charities as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we mustn't forget about them.
Never.
Many of them are operating very similarly to businesses.
Yeah, absolutely. And all this support is available to them as well. Yeah. And that is really important. Mm. I mean, obviously, we have some specialist provision in the city, like through Hive, which is fantastic. But for a lot of people, some of that basic business support is exactly the same.
And then we get about 1,000 new startups a year. Would that be about right?
You look more confident on that. I can't remember.
700 failures a year.
Yeah, but again, failures aren't always what they seem, because quite often people will register a couple of businesses, or carry businesses as dormant companies until they close them. People might close a company for a really good reason. But obviously, there are more businesses that fail, particularly in years 2 and 3, than we would like to see. Of course, sometimes people have learned that a direction for a business is just the wrong one to go. We do a great project for pop-up shops, and I will always consider Cascades and Flood are really brilliant at supporting us in Cascades. And we had one business who had a great online presence but wanted to try a shop, did 6 weeks and went, yeah, it's not for me. That is the greatest success we could possibly have, because that business continues to grow as an amazing online presence. It could, you know, if she'd gone to a shop, that could have been the end of that business.
Yeah.
So that learning isn't always about success. And that's a really important thing to understand. And I think sometimes it's really easy. I was talking to a business this morning who was talking about things that had gone wrong, but actually, so long as you're learning from that, it's the best thing that can happen sometimes. And it's about contextualizing that. And those things that mean that we don't sleep at night right now, probably not going to remember in a week's time.
Yeah.
What kind of challenges do you think businesses are facing currently?
I mean, obviously, it does depend on the size of your business. And having run my own businesses before, you know, I don't think there's one general question. Clearly, the kind of political climate, the change, the instability, the changes to all the HR legislation, all of those things are really significant challenges, particularly for businesses who think that's kind of stuff is really scary.
Stability is really good for businesses, isn't it? There's not been much of that.
No, we're having exciting changes, and we still don't know, probably not the biggest surprise on who will be our next prime minister.
I think we can guess.
Probably not the most shocking sort of bet you could lay at the moment, but of course we don't necessarily know what decisions are going to be there on businesses, and until we know that. And that takes a while. And then consumer confidence can take a while. So all of those things are enormous challenges.
It's unsettling, isn't
it? It is. But we see some businesses doing amazing things and making the most of that instability, because sometimes it is about being brave and bold and being prepared to take the risk. But the trouble with anything with risks is it is about managing that risk, doing it in an informed way. And so I think that makes for a really complex environment in which to run a business right now.
Yeah, definitely. So business aside.
Business aside.
And obviously you've lived your whole life in or around the city.
Yeah.
What makes Portsmouth the amazing place that it is?
Oh, that is such a difficult question, because
big question.
Is so much. And I was thinking, because obviously I may have watched one or two podcasts and I am aware of some of the sneaky and cruel questions that occasionally come up. And there isn't always just one thing, but community has to be the key to it. Whether you're looking at that from a business community that we've just talked about, whether you've looked at it from a more human level of the individuals that are involved, this is just an incredible place to live and work. It's so full of possibilities and such a beautiful space. And yes, we have enormous challenges and we absolutely can't undermine that. We still have a lot of health inequalities that are incredibly depressing to even think about. And sadly, not all of our families and households experience the same levels of affluence or stability. And that is really concerning and something we need to focus on. But ultimately, what we have is this most amazing community. And whoever's going out there doing anything, whoever's engaging with people, you just get that through every one of those video clips that you see people out and about on. You just get this amazing sense of community and the fact that people really care.
Yeah.
And actually, for the most part, it's a really inclusive and positive place. And I think that makes us really special in a way that not all cities benefit from.
You can really feel it, can't you, in everything that's happened this year. Obviously, the centenary, the culture bid. I know we'll talk a bit more about that, but you can just feel something in the air, you know. There's that sense of celebration and connection, and we're really kind of like leaning into that community element that the city is so great at.
Yeah, and you can't escape it. And whether you're a football fan or whether you're looking at it from just the kind of really place-based identities that people have, you know, there's all these just incredible people and places around the city, and it's very much like a collection of villages that all comes together in a really, really positive way. And I think that is very special. And of course, when you're in it, you underestimate it. But if you spend a lot of time comparing or working with other places, you really realise how special this can be.
I saw actually a little clip from the We Are Portsmouth account, and it said about Pompey words. Do you have a favourite Pompey word? I wonder if you have a favourite one, Dave. Jane? Do you know any Pompey words?
Of course I do.
Yeah?
So I have. Yeah. I have all of them.
What's your favourite?
Obviously. So my mug is definitely the squin.
Oh, yeah, squinny.
Squinny's.
Squinny's a good one.
Yeah, but Dinlow is special.
Yeah, Dinlow and Squinny, they're the,
Dinlow is probably where I would ordinarily... Gaver is obviously one that sits quite close home to me.
Okay, some good ones. Yeah, got me thinking. Squinny and Dinlow seem to be the most popular choices from what I could gather.
Yeah, they are. You know, it's... Again, these words are just like, if I think about my kids, my daughter's boyfriend has her in the phone as Mush.
Yeah.
Oh.
So he's like not that. He's not local, he's South African.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, he's just picked up the language from her.
I love that.
That, yeah, only works if you use it for one person. You know, look in your phone.
Everyone's mush.
Yeah, it could get really confusing. I mean, maybe he does, and I've not noticed.
If you put pictures alongside all of them, it'd probably work. But
wow,
yeah. Otherwise,
that would be mush. I'm pretty certain it's just her, but maybe. Yeah. Maybe it's not.
That's funny.
Yeah. Yes. But so who knew that Portsmouth was going to get so behind the centenary year. Eh? Who'd have guessed that we'd drag a party out for a year quite happily?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think anybody would have guessed that if you thought about it, we could totally drag a party out for a year.
And then, not satisfied with that, we're now just linking in a bid for We Are Pompey 2029, the City Culture.
But that's such a gift, because we are such an amazing city, and there are just really incredible things going on. And I know... I mean, you guys must be the same. I spend my whole life with fear of missing out, because I, no matter what I've been through, I've always missed something else. But
yeah,
I went to the we are Pompey 2029 business launch up the Spinnaker Tower. And someone said, oh, I'm just going down to Aspects. So we went down to Aspects and saw the launch of another one of their amazing exhibitions. And that was, you know, that was just another breathtaking opportunity. Forget about Aspects quite often, don't you? But every time I go in there,
it's beautiful.
Takes my breath away.
We're so lucky to have
that.
Absolutely
takes my breath away.
Trying to avoid using the phrase hidden gem now.
No, because we can't all be hidden gems.
No, plus we've got to unhide some of these gems. Yes.
Yeah.
But Aspects is one of those little, it is a bit hidden actually there, and but more people should know about it and go. It's great.
It's such an oasis, like Gunwharf, obviously busy, lots going on, but you can, as soon as you step inside, it's just so calm.
Yeah.
And they always have such thought-provoking exhibitions. And I went to the Pomodzi Portsmouth 100 exhibition, and it was so great in this year to celebrate 100 women that have, you know, made some kind of impact on the city. And like, and that was the same night as the Shaping Portsmouth conference, wasn't it? And it's just like there's always something to do and something great to kind of
there
be
is.
Part
it's been
of
a bit of a heavy week on that front actually in terms of multiple events, so I guess you spoke earlier when we were talking about what a wonderful city it is, about some of the challenges. And whilst it's great to celebrate everything that's good about Pompey and have all of these centenary events, I think what makes the City of Culture bid so interesting for the city is the way it builds on all the magnificence of what we do well and our heritage and our culture, etc. But it provides a really great lever for the future. It's, as you say, quite good timing because we've done like the first 100 years and it almost sets us up for the next 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were writing the bid, if you were Gemma, what would be the things that you were championing through that bid? What should they be focusing on to make Portsmouth City of Culture 2029?
I mean, I think we can have a level of confidence with all the immense consultation that's gone on, that all of the ideas that we're coming up with are all kind of really being covered off. But it is about that. It's about being ambitious for the city.
Mm.
It's about looking about how a City of Culture 2029 bid could really support Portsmouth, because I can wax lyrical for hours about all the amazing things that are in the city, all the incredible businesses, but we are not called the northern town on the south coast for no reason. You know, some of our challenges around deprivation, around health inequalities are shocking, and we have a real opportunity to use culture and creativity to really help address and take a big step forward with those things. And of course, that whole piece about inclusion, and Portsmouth 100 has been enormously about events that aren't just put on to celebrate, but that are free to access, that allow everyone to go. Because the biggest thing I think we have in the city is the Raising Aspirations piece. And you meet so many young people and adults, particularly through our unemployment programs, that don't think that those opportunities are always for them. And I think the City of Culture bid is an incredible opportunity to really take an attack at that piece and to widen things and to look at the art of the possible. Because we see, and obviously I do have the privilege of working with a lot of our unemployment programs, and you see adults who may be in their 40s and 50s who go into their first job. Maybe they've lived with, you know, lifelong disabilities or different challenges, caring responsibilities that have meant it hasn't been for them. And you see the positive impact of work on life and health. And I think that can be so underestimated. And the City of Culture bid has the opportunity to reach out and really challenge people. And that's not about us all being artists. You know, we've got some fantastic projects going on that, you know, we've got PAMIAC, Portsmouth Advanced Manufacturing and Engineering Cluster, loads of engineering firms who are working together to look at doing a piece of art with one of our local schools to represent the incredible engineering and manufacturing work that goes on across the city. You know, things Amazing. Like that, that just remind people, because there is that whole piece, particularly for young people, about you can't be what you can't see.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely true. We all know it. It's almost a bit of a trite phrase now, isn't it? But the reality is, you know, who knows about some of the incredible businesses? There's a lot of stuff goes on in the dockyard that you're not going to necessarily know about, but we can all kind of imagine. But, you know, we have absolutely incredible businesses, space satellites, autonomous vehicles going on around the city, doing absolute cutting edge work. And we need to raise people's aspirations so that they can be part of that, because creativity comes in many forms and it isn't always about performance art or painting or whatever.
That's a really valid point, because in some ways nothing puts people off of culture more than the word culture. Because people have this stereotype.
Yeah, like it's not for me.
Culture is, that's not for me. But culture's in all of us. We're surrounded by it. It's who we are, what we do, and we come across it all the time. But nothing brings people together in a way that culture does. You know, it's, you know, just on the way here, we were just talking about the whole look up thing, weren't we?
Yeah.
And the importance of that.
Yeah.
And I just, yeah, it is such a good opportunity. And when we win it, it will make a huge, huge difference
to
our city.
And we have to talk in that way, because if we don't have the confidence that we can do it, then who is going to believe us? But, yeah, you think you drive around the city, and I love the Look Up project. But if you imagine what we have achieved with very little funding, that beautiful street art that is everywhere.
Yeah.
Just imagine what we could do with some funding. Yeah. Just imagine the opportunities to develop some of our cultural history forward, to give opportunities to groups that perhaps not seen it. It is just breathtaking, and it is really, really exciting. And Portsmouth deserves that recognition.
Yeah.
You know, I'm aware that we've got a couple of museums that a few people have heard of. I don't know. Can barely remember the names. Some sort of boat or something. A bit of a boat.
I've heard about this.
There's the bloke, he goes on about it a lot.
Didn't they get it off the bottom of the sea? And,
I think so.
Is it some connection to the city?
Is it Don?
Something like that.
We love you, Dom.
She said that, Dom, not me. It wasn't me. But, you know, we do have the Mary Rose. We do have the D-Day Museum. We do have the Portsmouth Historic Quarter.
Yeah.
All of these incredible spaces. But obviously there is an opportunity to have so much more, because the history of Portsmouth is long and broad, and it doesn't just include those things that you necessarily think about. We are very, very proud of our history with the Navy, but Portsmouth is so much more than that, and that's so many opportunities to celebrate and inspire people.
Yeah. And you'll probably know this better than me, Charlotte, because of your involvement in that Look Up project.
But, okay.
I think I heard that Portsmouth has more street art per square mile than anywhere else in the country.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of overtaken some of those places. Like, I think more so than maybe Bristol and Brighton.
But yeah.
It definitely has. I guess because geographically, you know, it's a small place, but over the years, Look Up has really, like, put Portsmouth on the map for street art.
Yeah.
And the actual, you know, talking about that culture, but just how many artists that inspires. And when I was part of the team, there was a women's development area, and it was all about, like, nurturing women in art and giving them the confidence to paint bigger, to eventually, like, progress to painting onto walls in the city. So
and amazing things like paying the artists.
Yes, paying the artists.
That's, you know,
I know,
that's always really exciting when you talk to people who are in business in creative industries and they actually get paid to do their work.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, that was our conversation
when
we
Dave
were talking
didn't
about
realize
it.
That
yeah, I didn't realise how much they were paid, or that they were paid at all for the Look Up project.
Yeah.
I figured we were pulling in favours.
And don't get me wrong, I think there's been an awful lot of favours pulled in. But it is about professionalising industries and allowing people to be recognised for the incredible work they're doing. And, you know, it's all right to charge.
Yeah. Yeah.
But and that's I think, a massive business thing.
Yeah, and I think that goes all the way back to where we started with the conversation around business support and through the Portsmouth Business Support Service, which we jointly run. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I find, especially when talking to the newer, smaller businesses, is you have that conversation about how much you're paying yourself. Well, I'm not. Mm. You think, right, okay, that's a fundamental problem, the amount of people that think they can survive by not paying themselves in their own business.
Or it's all been a bit tough, so I haven't paid myself this month, but I've paid the staff. Mm. All those businesses that, I mean, I can feel the guilt waving in from a couple of businesses that I speak to regularly, and I go, what have you been doing? And they tell me about this amazing stuff, and I'll go, what have you been paid for? And they'll go, well, and I'm like, no, it's okay to earn a living. It's okay to
charge
for stuff.
Yeah.
But it is really uncomfortable space for an awful lot of people. And, you know, I'm not saying it's any different. I run my own business. I do get it. But it's much easier to tell everyone else what they should do than actually do it yourself. Yeah. So I'm much happier in that space.
Definitely.
What business do you run, Jane?
I don't anymore.
Oh.
I don't anymore, but I
was going to say, where are you finding the time to run a separate business?
I couldn't. So I used to run a mobility firm, wheelchairs and stuff like that. And I used to do a lot of consultancy stuff around single equality schemes. That's how exciting I am.
Okay.
And your quality tribunals.
Your mentoring, is that something that you do like on a voluntary basis? Do you still mentor?
So when we're talking about those businesses, that's just my day-to-day life where I like to bully people. Okay. I don't think they'd call it mentoring.
Okay.
So obviously we have the mentoring through Shaping Portsmouth. But that's my day-to-day job.
Okay.
They would describe it as motivation? Bullying people. Motivational speaking, bullying, being people's conscience. Again, there's always boundaries in what you can do within any workplace, isn't there? But getting people good mentors. I think if you're in the right space for a mentor or a coach, they can be absolutely life-changing. And I've coached people before and I've worked with coaches, and they are incredibly good at just telling you what you already know, but just pushing you towards the right direction.
Yeah, asking the right questions that kind of lead you down the right path.
Yeah. Or to deal with those uncomfortable situations that you've been procrastinating about not doing.
Yes, I hear you. Is there something that brings you like joy in that kind of coaching relationship? Like what bits do you enjoy about that?
I guess when I've done it in the past, probably when they don't need you anymore.
When
people have moved to a space where actually you don't have to have that conversation. Yeah. So what did you get paid for? Not really a coaching question, perhaps a little bit more mentoring there. But I guess it's when people are more successful. I absolutely love it. I was down Gunwharf at the weekend. I may have accidentally popped to support a local business, seeing Anna with her beautiful gelato stand.
Oh, yes.
I do feel the need to check in and support her quite regularly at the weekends.
No, and I understand that.
I don't think I'm supporting her enough.
No,
I need to get down there and show my support. Yeah,
maybe we should. Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Let's just always go. But when I was down there, there was a bit of a queue, and she's like, "Oh, I'm really sorry." And I'm like, "Oh no, this is my happy place.
Yes,
I love it.
This is good. I'm happy to wait.
Ideally, when you can't fit us in or we have to wait, that's perfect because it's not about being polite, and it's lovely. And Anna is amazing, and I love what she's doing. And I love all of the flavours, and I know there was a little LinkedIn debate.
Give me some tips. What is a good flavour? What are you going for?
So for me this week, I'm on blood orange. That was amazing.
Is that an ice cream or a sorbet?
It's a gelato. Blood orange is amazing.
Yeah.
But I would have to say there was quite a big family debate, and the melon and I think Wimbledon and lemon cheesecake all had some serious
because lots of contenders.
Yeah. The Wimbledon one looked interesting. I didn't try that, but I quite like the salted caramel and things like that.
Tiramisu was
a nice one.
That sounds really good.
But yeah, there's been a few randoms there where I had to ask what's that, and she's told me what's in it, and I've thought never, but tried it and then thought that's incredible.
Exactly. Yeah, okay. I love that this podcast.
I know. Yeah,
this 100 podcast is now just about Anna's gelato.
This is good.
This is great.
Because this is what the people need to know.
This is important. Like,
this is when we need to say to you, this might be the segment we share.
Yes, this is it.
But like you, nothing makes me happier than walking around the corner of the avenues and just seeing a mass of people round that cart and knowing that I'm going to have to wait because that's just brilliant for what they've done. It's just so nice to see. But so we were talking about the street art per capita or per square mile. I think the other one is outside of London, we have more pubs per square mile than anywhere else. And obviously,
per capita, I think it is.
Is it per capita?
Rather than square mile, but I think either one would work.
I think, yeah it probably does. Now, obviously, a lot of pressure on the hospitality trade.
Absolutely.
Very fine margins in terms of profit, so getting hit really hard currently, especially with cost of living increases, staff increases, etc. But I think you're someone that likes a drink.
I feel quite judged, but I have occasionally visited and supported our, particularly our independent local establishments.
Yes. Exactly, independent local establishments, that's the way to refer to them. But I was thinking about what you were saying about museums, actually. Mm-hmm. And actually, in terms of our culture and our history, our local establishments, our hostelries, sometimes represent that really well as well. And some really interesting places that you can go in, learn a lot about the city and the history.
I'm so scared about where this is.
Dave, where is this going?
I know. All I was going to do is we kind of thought that we should ask for lots of different likes and recommendations from you.
Okay.
So I was going to say, where would be your go-to places to go and have a drink? You don't have to limit it to one.
No.
Because this is tough, because this is like picking your favourite child or something,
this
isn't it?
This is a bit like picking my favourite child, but... As I do have a regular, I have to say that one.
Go for it.
But I will add in some more. So I'd absolutely say the George at Whidley.
Best pub. I've not been there.
Come on up.
Okay.
Sheldon, come on. No. They do a meat raffle on a Sunday.
Oh, wonderful.
I mean, literally.
I'm there. I'm sold.
That's what life is. And there's loads of memorabilia. So it's a bit.
It is.
It's like, you know, pub and museum in one, maybe. Nice. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't think that's deliberately what they're doing. Also, lovely food at lunchtime. But again, it's... It's one of those ones where you've got an independent running that.
Okay.
I have to say I love Staggeringly Good.
Yep.
So I love the Fossil Thief. Mm. And that's obviously great for non-alcoholic drinks as well, because clearly we don't just drink alcohol, Dave.
No. You
know, yes.
No. I have heard.
It's about balance.
I have heard that there are people that don't drink alcohol.
Other drinks are available.
Other drinks are available, but Fossil Thief is lovely. Great food, obviously supporting things like Southsea Deli, Bread Addiction. So you've got a real collaboration of establishments there.
And also it's really nice having something that's a big local collaboration in amongst all the big chains of Gunwharf.
And it's, do you know, Lansec and Yvonne and Paul in particular have been so supportive of a load of our smaller businesses. Yeah. You know, we've talked about Anna, we've talked about, well, we haven't talked, but we've got Luke by Sweet Tooth.
Sweet Tooth, yeah.
He's moving into Albert Road, which is just like really,
it's been a really lovely step, hasn't it, to get there.
And Paul, the heart of Gunwharf, the big softy that he is, has been really, really supportive. He's actually going to kill me for saying that. But he has been really, really supportive and really appropriately challenging, because it's about telling people how it is, not how they want it to be sometimes. Mm-hmm. But he was, again, when we had the Love Portsmouth project last year in Gunwharf, supported, I will always quote the 33 businesses, but I know Lou from Love Southsea will say that it was closer to 64 and above. Small businesses working out of Gunwharf, seeing some really, really different markets, some incredible favourites of us there. But obviously out of that came Staggeringly Good. Mm-hmm. They're obviously a permanent feature there, a wonderful collaboration of all the different traders. It's just... It's wonderful to see. So I guess, you know, we have to have that on the list. But there are, you know, Apsley House in Southsea. Yeah. That's lovely. Kate's doing some incredible stuff there. Really, really nice pub. Really friendly. There's a throne in there. Last time I was in there, they'd moved the throne. I don't know where the throne is. Kate, bring the throne back.
Yeah.
but lots of,
yeah,
you know, there are great restaurants.
That's that Apsley House is another little hidden one that people don't realise is up there.
Shh, don't tell anyone.
That was my sort of back in the, when there were lots of clubs on the seafront. That was our sort of pre-club one. It was nice.
Well, and you don't have to go to a club for it. You can. No. But that's an amazing space. And so then restaurants.
Restaurants. Where are we going for dinner then?
Oh, we're going for dinner. So who's, I'd have to get a Who's First on Elm Grove.
Yeah,
but
agreed.
You've got Southsea Deli just up the road if you're looking for something a bit lighter. And then they do the wonderful evenings where you can go and do the cookery. So you can do Road from Karachi. You've got the Bryony, the canteen. Oh, honestly, this is just the best place to eat and drink.
Okay. So when we need to walk all that off, where are you going? Where's
well, it depends where you've been, obviously.
Where are the places in the city that you like to get out and about in?
So I love being near the water, like probably most people in Portsmouth. And whether that's around Farlington Marshes, whether that's along the beautiful seafront, or whether you're walking through Fox's Forest and popping into Casemates. For a non-alcoholic beverage, or I believe they are also a licensed premises.
You're the second person to say Casemates, actually.
Casemates is really lovely. I remember Seekers Create said, oh, come and meet me down here for a coffee a couple of years ago. And I was a bit like, I knew it existed, but I'd never been there. And it's a lovely, calm space. Yeah. And obviously, they have all the amazing studios. So actually, it's really all about music production. It just happens to have a little cafe there. But it's a great way to support a business.
Yeah.
And obviously they did really well in our last Business Excellence Awards. So I tend to be near the water, but that's another one of the sort of favourites. But it is an incredible walking city. And to be honest, if I'm doing meetings in different places, I quite like to walk between them because actually it is really walkable. As a city, having the time is sometimes not quite so easy. But there are amazing places around here to walk and wander, whether you're going on like the Millennial Walk or obviously now you'd be following the trail.
Of course.
To the Pride of Portsmouth.
They're looking great, aren't
download
they?
Download the app.
Yeah, download the app instantly and follow the lions, which is just
We had team breakfast this morning in the parks. We found our first two, didn't
we?
Yes. Excellent. I was going to say, I've seen the one down in Southsea, near the Hard. I drove past him over the weekend, and if you go down to Port Solent, there is Leonardo safely at home near Biscoe's. Thank goodness. Thank goodness Leonardo went to Biscoe's, because Sarah, who works for Biscoe's, was really enthusiastic about having Leonardo, and I think she would have kidnapped him if he had not gone there. But
that's
clearly
funny.
He has gone home, so that's
he's
safe. Can mark everyone safe. Leonardo is safe.
Yes, he is safe. I do recall being told not to climb on Leonardo previously.
Yes, because if you'd climbed on him at the original launch thing, Leonardo may not have been in the shape that Leonardo is in now.
Yes.
So, yes, Dave, I think I did tell you to get down.
So I said the youth cabinet made me do it.
Yes, which I think is... I couldn't help noticing that none of the youth cabinet were around at this point.
But... So we mentioned hidden gems. Mm-hmm. What are the hidden gems then that you think don't get enough attention in the city that people really should know about?
And I'm just going to add to this question, because you are like the master of connections in the city. I don't think there isn't any business or person that you don't know. So if there's a hidden gem or maybe of a person or someone that we should know about or connect with, please feel free to add that also.
Oh, I think my brain is just outside of my head. There are so many. I mean, everything that we've talked about so far, all those incredible businesses, you know, there is one, go down Albert Road and there are so many amazing restaurants and
independence.
And it's all about the independence. So if you're in Drayton going into Interior Port or the Drayton Tavern, if you're, you know, in Cosham, there are, you know, we're seeing more pop-ups in Cosham, you know, more small businesses in Cosham that are starting to come.
I also hear really good things about Ethos in Havant. Have you been there?
No.
Apparently. Oh, best brunch. One.
Okay, yep. Ethos in Havant. Well, I love these conversations, but you know, again, I'm trying to remember all the businesses we go down. You go through Copner, you've got, you know, Delight, you've got all these wonderful
Copner Kitchen.
Yep. Yeah. The Cosham Kettle, yes. Great community kind of space.
Yeah.
Sorry, I've moved up and down across the city there, haven't I? There are just, you know, across along Elm Grove, you know, Bread Addiction.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, you have to get there early if you want to get those buns. That's another reason why to go to Fossil Thief, because I have more success rate in getting a Bread Addiction cinnamon bun at Fossil Thief than I actually have at Bread Addiction, because they go so quickly.
Top tip.
So you can pick up your bread, go to Hoos, and then pop for a coffee at Southsea Deli afterwards, honestly.
So
you'd be exhausted and unable to move, but you have all these food options.
Now, herein lies the problem, because we've come to the end of our time on the podcast, but we always finish the podcast in the same way, and that's by asking for one recommendation. Mm. Now obviously we've let you have quite a lot.
Yeah,
that was probably just,
it's made me very hungry. I'm just very hungry.
My apologies to anyone I haven't mentioned so far.
Now we're going to ask for your one big recommendation. What is the one top tip? The place that you most recommend that people should go, thing they should do, etc. What is your recommendation that you want to finish this podcast on?
So I think that's a particularly cruel question to ask me.
But we've asked everyone on every podcast, so it's not as if you haven't seen this one coming.
No, but it's like Portsmouth 100, so can't I have 100? This is the 100th one.
I think that would be a whole different episode where we just talk about your top 100 tips.
Top 100.
Yeah, like a scroll.
Places to eat, drink and generally enjoy in the city. I mean, it's really difficult because obviously there are some places where, you know, smoke and mirrors insist you pay. It's, you know, so rude. But then there's wonderful things you can do, like walk along the seafront and look at the Theatre of the Sea, and that's free. Mm-hmm. And that in itself is really important, that we have opportunities for both sides.
Sure.
So I guess, you know...
We're going to have to push you.
I know. And I am literally trying to talk to avoid it. Going up the top of the hill as well. That's amazing. You can look down. You can go to Mixed Burgers. Is there anyone I haven't promoted? All the pressure is so high. If you're going to go to one place.
Yeah.
Well, I've just done the food festival down there. So I'd have to say going down to the seafront.
Nice.
You know, to seafront, Southsea Common. And then you're close to a whole bunch of wonderful independents you can also go and see. Like the Farm Kitchen. See, I keep remembering people that I've not mentioned that I really should.
I suppose the thing with it is, it's if you go down to Avenue de Caen on a weekend, you either walk up to the castle, turn left and there's Castlefield, you turn right and there's the bandstand the other side, you don't quite get that far and you've hit something going on the common.
Yeah.
The maybe chances,
gone to the nursery. I mean,
the chances of finding nothing going on in all three of those places is next to zero, isn't it? On a weekend. There is always something going on down there.
And you can have a fabulous time and control the cost, or you can, you know, head slightly in with only a few minutes walk and enjoy some amazing stuff. Yeah. Basically, Portsmouth is just an incredible place, and wherever you go is great.
Round to the other side of the castle and you've got the Theatre of the Sea there.
Yeah,
you can just sit and watch.
Walk all the way down. You can go to Portsmouth Distillery. Literally, I'm remembering people that I've forgotten as we go along. We need to mention them all. They're all fabulous.
We need to create a map of Jane's top spots.
It would be a busy map.
It would be 100, I think.
I could easily do 100. I think
there's probably a challenge just to get someone in the team to go through this podcast, pull out all of the businesses and locations, and I think we'll have 100.
Yeah. And I will then just start to feel bad about the incredible businesses that I haven't mentioned because of the pressure of being interviewed by many.
But we are way out of time.
Yeah, well, so much to talk about.
The big one, the special podcast, so going a bit over time is no bad thing.
It's a great celebration.
But obviously not keeping the best to last, because we intend to do another 100 episodes.
Absolutely. But am I coming back at 200?
I think.
I could talk about Baffled Coffee. I just realised how I
did. You can talk about all the businesses that you feel bad about not mentioning. We can have an episode.
You've got 100 podcasts to just go away and think about all the ones you didn't mention.
I'll start the list because, you know, there are so many.
Yeah, but no, thank you very, very much. A, for being our special guest on our 100th podcast. And yes, we did give you a 100 pin.
Yes, I'm very proud.
Which we may use that in the marketing. So we won't in the marketing say who the 100th guest is going to be, but we might announce that there's a pin which might give a clue if anyone happens upon that person. but also thank you for being such a great advocate and supporter for Shaping Portsmouth.
Yeah. It's a joy and a pleasure and hard not to.
No, so thank you so much. And thank you, Sharla, for helping me out.
It's been great. Thank you both. No. Loved it.
Thank you. This podcast was brought to you by Shaping Portsmouth, working to make Portsmouth the number one UK city in which to invest, live, learn, work and visit. To find out more, please visit shapingportsmouth.co.uk. This podcast was supported by Spark Community Space and Portsmouth Community Lottery.